Scott, that's Jay, welfare.com, Final Days Report, episode 430. Folks, rabbis are going out and pushing for Israel to run the world, take the place of the United States. The next story I want to cover, Peter Thiel links AI to the Antichrist, to Armageddon, to the end of days. And the last story I want to cover is Alex Jones is the good cop player defending Palantir. We're going to just destroy that narrative from Alex. Is it all just a psyop, my friends? I sometimes wonder. All right, I'm seeing a bunch of rabbis saying that Israel needs to take over America's role as the New World Order superpower. Top rabbi, America is collapsing. Israel must step up as the New World superpower. And what's interesting when you read this article, it talks about the moral decay of America and the West. But that, my friends, has been by design. Frankenism is a philosophy, a Jewish philosophy of do wickedness, do perversion to bring on the Messiah. So what do we see in Hollywood, in our education system, the academia circles, think tanks, news media? We see perversion. We see, hey, you can change your genders. We can defile kids. We need bathroom rights. Just perversion, right? It's perversion. I've even seen some bills at the state level trying to push for pedophilia, pushing for bestiality. I mean, it's just sick. It's sick, but it's by design. It's a playbook. So now this is the excuse to go to Israel, which I find funny because I think Tel Aviv is the sodomite capital of the world. But the big picture of all this, when it goes down after the seals continuously have their waves, seals are spirits when they have their way, 1 through 4, and the world is brought down to their knees, that's when I think they're going to launch Noahide laws, and they're going to run it out of the Sanhedrin court in Israel. And we've done a couple studies on Israel or Jerusalem being the woman of the book of Revelation. Check those out. Continuously watch the Catholic Church because they're definitely a power player. But I think this is talking about Israel, right? The great city with hermeneutics is Sodom and Egypt, where they crucified Christ. They didn't crucify Christ in Rome. Jerusalem sits on 7 hills. Jesus said, you killed the prophets. In the book of Revelation, you can kill the prophets no more. I mean, on and on and on, right? And when you really dive deep into some of these rabbis, they talk about how Edom must be destroyed. Edom is the old Roman Empire, i.e., their words, Christianity. And then you link this to the Daigle Report that will eliminate 75 to 80% of the population of the West, depending upon the country. I mean, it's wickedness. So I think there will be war. It'll be scripted. Death will be real. Russia, China, Cuba, and others will invade the United States and probably Europe as well. And many Christians, including myself, have had multiple dreams. I had a dream when I first was saved that Russia attacked the United States. I thought it was going to happen the next day. I bought all this prepper food. I still have it, but it's very, very old. And I do think preparation is biblical, but my friends, it's a great time to be alive and have no fear whatsoever. All right, the thumbnail for this VCast, Peter Thiel, the inventor of PayPal with Elon Musk. And again, we've done a series, a 4-part series, is Elon Musk the False Prophet? Check that out on sjwellfire.com. His religion is Scientism, is transhumanism. That's Elon Musk. But Peter Thiel's vision of the apocalypse is AI, the Antichrist, a headline from Zero Hedge. I found it fascinating going to Oxford, Harvard, Stanford, University of Austin, and he's actually trying to understand technology within the framework of biblical prophecies of the end of days. And I listened to his Stanford interview, and it appears he knows the Bible, but he's very philosophical, very academic, has a ton of different references and philosophers. And so my question is this, I think it's called sigil magic, the art of the reveal. So if you fall into this trap, the blood does not fall back on his head because he's warned you. Is that what's happening here? Or is the Lord working with Peter Thiel? Has the Lord given him a dream that says, you are building the beast system and you're going to be burning in hell? And I know Peter Thiel is homosexual. Personally, I've said this multiple times. I've met homosexuals that came to the Lord, actually extracted their demons, and are doing wonderful works for the Lord. When you read Romans 1, sometimes God just gives people over to a reprobate mind, and they're not going to be redeemable. So my question is this, the art of the reveal with the black magic, witchcraft, so the evil does not fall back on him, right? You need to make your own decisions, or is the Lord working with them? You decide. What do you say in the comments? But let's read, because I've been warning about what Peter Thiel's warning about for 4 years, about this AI Antichrist beast system. And again, this isn't by my wisdom. I had the dream in 2008. The Antichrist was hit with what I think was a high caliber weapon. It was in slow motion, or the Spear of Destiny. And they put the Antichrist's head on a supercomputer and he showed up as a hologram. You can go back and check out the entire dream. Let's read. Thiel believes that the Antichrist, whose identity is uncertain, is it a person, a system, a global tyranny? This is interesting. Is not just a medieval fantasy. So he's saying that the Bible is not a medieval fantasy. Now, when I listened to his Stanford interview, he wasn't saying this is the word of God. This is true. He just said there's some key learnings here. So it was kind of a soft, hey, there's something here, right? But their leading themes include the Antichrist's relationship to Armageddon and the roles of technology and empire in the Antichrist's rise. Personally, I wonder if Thiel knows the plan as an insider. Thiel references Matthew 24:24, which warns of false Christs and prophets deceiving even the elect, those are Christians, suggesting that modern fears such as AI, bioweapons, and nuclear threats mirror biblical prophecy. Thiel warns that drastic measures to prevent global catastrophe, such as a single world government, could lead to the end of politics, morality, and culture. So check out some of his series. The Stanford interviewer was somewhat hinting, you really believe the Bible? He didn't say that, but he implied it with his tone and his questions. So I was trying to figure out, does Peter Thiel profess to be a Christian? And there was one article that kind of suggested he might be leaning there, but then who knows? God only knows. I like to say, pray for our leaders, especially those with dual citizenship, that they come to Christ. Because we're living in wild times, my friends, and it's about saving souls. Or is this just a black magic reveal? What do you say in the comments, my friends? Because obviously Peter is involved in some evil. He's involved in the system that will enforce Noahide laws, that will behead Christians. I'm a post-trib rapture guy. I think you'll be here the entire time. And the other thing he did not mention in his interviews, from what I can gather, is this bio-digital convergence. Many people miss this mind-controlism technology, optogenetics, that we've always been harping on. But this should wake up the masses. There are probably about 30 people that I follow that really understand that you're the temple of God, that they're trying to defile you, that this is a seed DNA war. But I'm seeing others finally waking up to this madness. They're waking up, my friends, in droves, which is exciting. I'm going to play a video of Peter being asked a question about Palantir and just watch him stutter. He seems very, very uncomfortable. He's on edge. So again, I ask the question, is this just a satanic art of the reveal? So the blood and the evil does not fall back on his head, right? Knowing that you reap what you sow, what you do to others will fall back on your head. And granted, I realize he's a homosexual. Or is the Lord trying to work with him? What do you say in the comments?
So what do you think about the use of artificial intelligence or Lavender by the IDF in identifying Hamas targets? And secondly, do you agree with Elon Musk about that the population decline is a risk for humanity?
Look, I'm not on top of all the details of what's going on in Israel because my bias is to defer to Israel. It's not for us to second guess everything. And I believe that broadly the IDF gets to decide what it wants to do, and that they're broadly in the right. And that's sort of the perspective I come back to. And if I fall into the trap of arguing you on every detailed point, I would actually be conceding the broader issue that the Middle East should be micromanaged from Cambridge, and I think that's just simply absurd. And so I'm not going to concede that point. And what was your other?
All right, I want to play Alex Jones defending Palantir, folks. This is Wings of the Same Bird. This is Right Left Divide. Alex is defending the beast system, and we've covered Alex before with his trans porn and saying this trans woman is beautiful and other things as well. Reminds me of that Illuminati card. The agent is in place. Here we go.
Everybody's asking me about Palantir. And when you look at it and you understand it, Palantir and the surveillance systems and the AI and all of it has been an outlier from the bigger companies. And it's been wanting to get big contracts, and Trump wants to use it to track illegal aliens and stuff, and the real ID that they're trying to bring in that's terrible, that never got implemented because it's unconstitutional. So I've been critical of all of that, and I obviously don't trust Palantir and the rest of the stuff it's doing. But it is small compared to all the other big AI and the Pentagon, Sentinel, and all the rest of it. The reason you're seeing the attacks on it everywhere is because it's trying to get contracts that other big tech companies already have, and because Palantir has been supportive of Trump. And so, yeah, Trump is going to them because they've been supporters. But all this hype about Palantir, all of these systems can be used for control. All these systems are out of control. All the AIs are woke. So Palantir is being used to run AI drones killing people in Gaza. All of it's very concerning. But why do people know about Palantir and nothing else? Well, that's because it comes from the left only focusing on Palantir, because it's seen as something being brought in to surveil the government itself and to try to find ways for fraud and abuse. That's what Trump wants it for. Trump admin tasked Palantir with expanding U.S. surveillance state. And the New York Times and all of them are all over it. Palantir's deepening government ties spark fears of centralized surveillance. And you've got the owner of it, the CEO of it, with all his statements about crushing the right wing in Europe and all the rest of it. I got serious concerns. It's just that endless hyping about it and only focusing on it is coming out of the left, and the populist anti-globalist movement has taken it absolutely hook, line, and sinker.
It's good cop, bad cop. Their wings are the same bird, my friends. It's all a military industrial complex program. Just think of Operation Warp Speed. But let's kind of crush Alex Jones's thoughts that Palantir is the little guy, because I don't believe it for a second. This is from Trumpet News One, quoting a Forbes magazine article that's a little bit older. But Palantir's advisors included Condoleezza Rice, the former CIA director, George Tenet, who says in an interview that, "I wish we had the tool of its power before 9/11," talking about Palantir. So is this little guy system? No. General David Petraeus, former CIA chief, describes Palantir to Forbes as a better mousetrap when a better mousetrap was needed. Calls it brilliant. I find this next thing funny in the book, The Finish, detailing the killing of Osama bin Laden, really. Author Mark Bowden writes that Palantir software actually deserves the popular designation of the killer app. The headline from Forbes, "How a deviant philosopher built Palantir, a CIA-funded data mining juggernaut. So why is Alex defending this? This is beyond crazy. And again, Trump taps Palantir to compile data on Americans. This is from local news. Outrageous. Palantir's massive database centralizes tax, student debt, social security, bank accounts, medical claims, immigration status, personal data aggregation, probably your social media post, federal agency information collection, comprehensive data centralization. And you need to think about Doge coming in, EGOD coming in, and mapping all of your government, and then the AI Stargate announcement on the second day of Trump's administration. I mean, this is a joke. This is your AIB system. This is the right wing bringing in AI. Remember FedNow? That will track all transactions real time and probably be on the blockchain. Folks, there'll be no government officials to call. And then we have the PSYOP of we can't stop AI. So there'll be no recourse if you're wronged by AI. This is a script. Break from your right left nonsense. I thought this was interesting from the New York Post. AI could devastate Earth's population down to the size of UK by 2300, expert warns. People really don't have a clue. Granted, I don't think we'll be here that long. And this is a story I've covered in the last three podcasts, but we need to continuously reiterate this in this big, beautiful bill. Buried in Trump's big, beautiful bill is a clause that would ban states from regulating artificial intelligence for 10 years. This is the new world order technocratic slave system. And again, you can't look at any of these articles in its own little silo. You need to understand the big picture that this is Google 3.0, the final government, according to Klaus Schwab, will be artificial intelligence driven. We have Doge, EGOD, backwards. They scan it. They're gonna run the government with artificial intelligence, and then the money system, central bank digital currencies, cryptocurrencies, and lastly, biodigital convergence, hooking you up to the hive mind, measured and tracked via Stargate, Starlink, all of it. It's moving fast, my friends. But let's dive a little bit deeper into Palantir and the CEO. And some of his thoughts. This is what Trump is defending. This is what Alex is defending, I should say.
He says, Palantir is here to disrupt and make the institutions we partner with the very best in the world. And when it's necessary to scare enemies and on occasion kill them. And we hope you're in favor of that. We hope you're enjoying being a partner. And we're really happy and very, very focused on what we're doing. Thank you for your time.
They're playing God, my friends. All right, let's continue with the CEO.
Almost everyone in America is horrified by the dramatic rise of anti-Semitism, which is not, it does not receive the reaction it should deserves. And most Americans would like to see leadership on the Middle East, on bringing hostages home, especially American hostages, and clear statements about discrimination, even discrimination against Jews. I think part of the reason why leaders need to stand up is this is a very, very, very small minority of America. They succeed in having an outsized impact simply because the rest of America thinks they're so idiotic that this can't actually be dangerous or true. But it is dangerous, and they do believe these things. And if we do not speak up, they will continue to tell themselves this, and there will be a sense on their side that it's okay to push the boundaries and push the boundaries and push the boundaries. And so as heinous as what these people are saying is, it exists in part because there are not enough people saying this is really dumb, this is hatred, and it will not be tolerated. Eviscerating the First Amendment, but just using the First Amendment to say, hey, this is either stupid or hateful. It's very hard to know whether you're an idiot or you're a demigod or you're just purely a hateful person, but we disagree.
Palantir is a CIA front organization funded by the CIA, whose only client up to 2008 was the CIA, responsible for the data mining software which helps the IDF target Palestinians, links to the AI Israel target system called the Gospel. Palantir is also the company that gathered worldwide health data during the plandemic. This is a post from Laura Aboli on Telegram, a citizen journalist. So really, Alex, you're going to defend this nonsense? All right, I want to end here. I found this hilarious. It's gone viral that COVID backwards in Hebrew means possession by an evil spirit. And mainstream news is going after this viral movement. Fact check. Does COVID backward mean possession by an evil spirit in Hebrew? Question mark. So you know you've rattled the system when mainstream news actually has to do a fact check article on it. It's just wild. All this funnels into Trump and others. We've talked about how Trump a couple times has said we need to censor the net. That is the goal, my friends. But I always like to tie this to scripture. All right, this VCast reminds me of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Just thinking about Peter Thiel, who touches upon the Bible. Sounds like he knows the Bible, but he doesn't say it's the absolute word of God. But he's bringing up some interesting points. Maybe he's feeling super guilty of the systems that he's built and realizes this is flat out running into this one world government. Or he's revealing the witchcraft and the warning so the blood doesn't fall back on his head. But let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And this verse reminds me of Alex Jones and Trump and so many others. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And remember, you're the temple of God if you are a Christian. Do not defile the temple of God that is you. Folks, I'm blown away. I've seen a couple videos now with DARPA in nanotech on our crops under the ruse of we need to protect our crops from bioterrorism. Meanwhile, people getting hit with storms, their crops are being ruined. Did they dump some sort of fungus on their crops? I mean, just dead. Just dead after these storms. What sort of stuff did they put in the chemtrails? I'm just saying it's odd. We're living in wild, wild times. So DARPA's working on nanotech to protect the crops, to destroy the crops, to then justify nanotech on the crops. I just read an article about how they're using bacteria to actually go and be used in the Internet of Things, Internet of Bodies. We're getting hit on so many fronts. So many fronts. So again, bless a Christian, you'll be blessed. Make sure you have a blessed day.
Today, AI is software, right? And so when you use AI, you use ChatGPT. It's an app on your phone, right? There's no manufacturing kind of component, you know, really. People are building giant data centers, but, you know, it's not a huge generator of, like, middle-class jobs. But there's another turn on AI that's coming, which is the turn to embodied physical AI, which is robotics, right? And this is a transition that has already happened. It's already actually happened in drones, where drones went from being human-piloted to actually being autonomously piloted. They now fly themselves. It's a transition that's happening in cars right now, right, where cars went from, you know, basically purely physical products to now basically being rolling computers that drive themselves. And if you haven't tried this yet, if you ever have the misfortune of finding yourself in San Francisco, take a Waymo. It's amazing to live in a cyberpunk future reality where you're in literally a state-of-the-art self-driving car that's literally out of the Jetsons driving past people who are dying of fentanyl overdoses on the sidewalk. I recommend having the experience at least once. But the self-driving car really does work, like it's really happening. And then what's going to happen, you've all probably seen, you know, Elon has this Optimus robot that he's building, these humanoid robots. Like the general purpose robotics thing is going to happen, and it's going to happen in the next decade, and it's going to happen at giant scale. And I think there's a plausible argument, which Elon also believes, that robotics is going to be the biggest industry in the history of the planet. It's going to be gigantic. There's going to be billions, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of robots of all shapes, sizes, descriptions running around doing all kinds of things. Those robots need to get designed and built, right? And so my view is, you know, we don't try to get the old manufacturing jobs back. What we should do is lean hard into the manufacturing jobs of the future, which is designing and building all of these new things, right? By the way, which includes drones and cars, right, and robots. And, you know, we shouldn't be building manufacturing lines that have people sitting on a rubber mat for 10 hours screwing screws in by hand, but we should be building, you know, what Elon calls, he calls them alien dreadnought factories, right? Which is like these super sophisticated factories with like tons of robotics. But you can imagine thousands and thousands of different categories of industrial production that have to happen all across the U.S. in order to make this happen. And would cause just like enormous economic growth throughout the country. We get a huge payoff from all the tech investment that the coasts are making, but we generate many tens or hundreds of millions of jobs in the countryside, and then the U.S. would lead. It would be the third industrial or fourth industrial revolution. We would lead in the development of all these new things. And then you get to the national security side of this, which is if you don't do this, you're living in a world of Chinese robots everywhere. And that has, you know, very profound consequences for, let's just say, yeah, so, profound so, consequences.
And it's an important policy point. And I want to dig into this a little bit more. I was just in an interview up there, like, aren't we going to destroy tens of millions of jobs? Isn't AI scary? A lot of people are very scared right now with the disruption. I'm very excited about the higher productivity because I see it being disinflationary. I see it creating more jobs. Assuming we're aligned, how do we explain this to people? How do we explain this is actually a really good thing for the country? Because a lot of Luddites are going to attack this. They are going to try to stop it.
Yeah, so the Luddites are wrong. The Neo-Luddites are wrong. They're wrong in the sense of like for the reason they've always been wrong, which is the reality is we have not in the last 50 years been in an era of fast productivity growth, technological change. We've been in an area of slow productivity change, slow economic growth. AI, if it works the way that actually people either hope or fear that it's going to work, it's going to cause productivity growth to shoot up. That will naturally accelerate economic growth. But look, if it just stays as software, then the result of that is it's going to make the cities much better off, right? It's going to make San Francisco and LA and New York much better off and Austin much better off. But it's still not going to answer this question of what happens in the countryside. To answer the question of what happens in the countryside, you need to get to the next thing. You need to make AI hardware as well as software. And you're right back to that same prescription of basically reindustrializing the country. And again, not reindustrializing the country on the stuff that has already left, reindustrializing the country based on all the things that have to be invented and built. And it's just like we know, I mean, just like I'm just like incredibly highly confident that there's going to be these giant industries of, you know, computerized everything, AI powered all kinds of hardware of all kinds of shape sizes to descriptions. You know, you're funding a lot of that kind of thing. I'm funding a lot of that kind of thing. I mean, look, the entire defense base has to get rebuilt around this.
We're going to redo the manufacturing. We're going to build roads and tunnels and everything cheaper. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and this is the thing to do. Like to me, the path like on this is very clear because we have to do this because it's necessary from a national security standpoint. We have to do it because we need it. We need the economic growth. We have to do it because we need an answer for the entire population of the country, not just the cities. And we have to do it because if we don't do it, China's going to do it, and we don't want to live in that world.
IBM, the big corporation, is now developing an artificial intelligence called Watson, which is supposed to first help doctors and then replace doctors in making a diagnosis. For an AI like Watson, it is easy to have instant access to my entire medical history. Every disease I ever had, my DNA scanning, all the blood tests I ever took, and not only of me, but also of my parents and siblings and neighbors. You can carry the AI, the doctor, with you in your pocket, in a mobile phone. Watson can be an application on your mobile phone. So even if I leave my home country of Israel and go to Beijing or go to Seoul and suddenly I feel sick, the doctor is with me 24 hours a day in every point in the world. He can constantly monitor my biometric data with the help of new biometric sensors. And when it detects that something is wrong, it immediately alerts the person, look, it's connected to the mobile phone, and it can alert the person, look, something is wrong, take your medicine. AI, a doctor AI like Watson, constantly measuring, monitoring many, many different biometric signals in your body, will be able to detect the beginning of diseases like cancer in a very early stage when it is relatively easy to do something about it. Of course, all this will necessitate to violate human privacy. Companies like Apple and Google will have tons and tons of data on your body, on your most private affairs and conditions. But my impression as a historian, not as a biologist, my impression as a historian is that when the public, people, will be given a choice between health and privacy, they will mostly choose health, not privacy. so privacy will decline. But the kind of health services that IBM Watson could provide for us will make current human doctors seem incredibly primitive.